And here is what it says, Matthew 6, verse 25. And we got it for you on the screen in case you don't have a Bible. It says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Everybody say, don't worry. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry. I say, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our Be Free series. And I'm calling today's sermon, The Answer for Anxiety. Can you look at the person that you're standing next to and tell them, hey neighbor, you don't have to worry about a thing. Find somebody else, tell them, hey neighbor, you don't have to worry about a thing. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise that you've given us and for your faithfulness. Would you speak to us now in this moment? Give us insight and revelation. Would you remove any distractions in our mind and our heart that would get in the way of us receiving your word? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. Church family, I want to begin just our message today sharing with you an experience that our family embarked upon a few months back around the early portions of the summer. In the early portions of the summer, family, our household, we love to watch movies together and hang out and have movie nights on Fridays like many of us might enjoy as well. But one of the movies that we went to go see in the summertime, which is considered to be one of the top grossing films of this year, was a movie by the name of Inside Out 2. It was the sequel to its predecessor, Inside Out, which came out a number of years ago. Inside Out 2 is a movie that captures the experiences of a young lady and some of the emotional things that she deals with from time to time. It's a movie that highlights these different emotions that she felt that were personified by different characters. And Inside Out 2 specifically, there was a new emotion that the young girl was experiencing, and it was this emotion by the name of anxiety. And in this movie, Anxiety, and we got a nice little picture for you that I want to show you in case you're not familiar with Inside Out 2, but in this picture, Anxiety looked nice and calm and cute and everything else. I don't know what's happening, but all right. But she looked calm and under control. But by the end of the movie, Anxiety went from being calm to now being this picture that's up here, right here, out of control. She went from being peaceful to being stressful. In one instance in the movie, she was under control, and by the end of the movie, she had this, what they called a tornado experience, where things just got out of control, which then led to the young lady who was feeling these emotions to feel a sense of being out of control. And when I think about anxiety in the young girl that was experiencing this, I wonder if any of you in here can identify with how those pictures portrayed anxiety. Where one moment you feel like everything is awesome. You're singing a song, everything is awesome. But then the next moment you're saying everything is terrible. Feels like life is too much. I believe many of us, if we're honest in here, can say, Pastor, there's some moments where I feel great and I feel like I'm on top of the world from an emotional standpoint, but then the next moment comes and I'm wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm wondering how's this going to take place, and I'm wondering what's going to happen when I get this email and when I get this text message. I just want to know, just by show of hands, how many of y'all can identify with that? Where one day it's all good, and one moment is good, but then the next moment you feel overwhelmed. And this is something that I wanted to lean into today, because I believe that many of us are impacted by anxiety. But to give us an understanding of anxiety, one of the things that I thought would be helpful was to find kind of a basic definition. And we don't have this on the screen, but you can write this down. But according to Mayo Clinic, they say that it is intense or an excessive and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. Intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. Meaning this, anxiety can be emotional, anxiety can be situational, but I would also argue that anxiety is always spiritual. That anxiety isn't only a spiritual issue, but when we look through the pages of Scripture, what we'll see is that anxiety is always a spiritual issue. It's not just a spiritual issue, but it's always linked back to some degree of a spiritual issue, which brings us here to Matthew 6. Because here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is giving what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. So in Matthew chapter 5, and in Matthew chapter 6, and in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is giving this teaching, this extended teaching on what it means to live life according to his kingdom. This Sermon on the Mount is Jesus giving this sermon on the backside of a mountain, where he's talking about these different dynamics of life and these different dynamics of how you and I are to live life. And here in Matthew 6, he comes to this portion in his sermon where he begins to talk about worry. Now, I believe that this passage is extremely helpful, if not for all of y'all, definitely for me. Because there's plenty of times in my life where I can find myself worrying about things. Am I alone or am I in good company in here? Some of us right now are stressed and worried about many different things. You physically are here, but your mind is on everything else that has to happen after this moment. And here, this word worry in this text is interesting, because when Jesus uses this word worry, it literally translates in the original language of the Bible, in the Greek New Testament, it literally translates to be anxious or to have an anxious concern based on possible danger or misfortune. That in the Scripture, worry and anxiety are oftentimes one and the same. This original Greek word for our English word worry is here. I found it to be interesting, because our English word actually comes from this root word, which literally means to strangle. Meaning this, that worry has the power and the propensity to strangle some things out of our life, to strangle some joy, to strangle some hope, to strangle some happiness. And it's interesting, because as Jesus is talking about do not worry multiple times, he equates it and connects it to the things that they were worried about. What things were they worried about? Food, shelter, clothing. And it's interesting, because all these things have one thing in common. They are all temporary in nature. Food can run out. Clothing can wear out. And what Jesus is doing, he's not diminishing the importance of these particular things that the people are worried about in this time, because the context was people were oftentimes worried and anxious about their daily life, because many people were poverty-stricken, and many people were impoverished, and many people did not have financial security. Many people were dealing with a lot of different question marks when it came to their own daily life. So many of them were worried about the day-to-day affairs of life, and Jesus isn't diminishing their importance. As a matter of fact, we see Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. So he cares about people's tangible needs. We see people healing people's bodies of different types of sickness and of blindness. So we see that Jesus cares about the totality of people's lives. But what Jesus is talking about is how you and I, just like the people in his time, can have an unhealthy attachment to placing too much focus and concern on these things. So the point where it begins to dictate and control our mood and our emotions and our daily living and how we perceive things and how we look at things. What this text actually helps us to see through his words is how, when it comes to worry and anxiety, we see a few things that I think contribute to our anxiety. I want you to write these down, because I thought it would be helpful. that when Jesus begins to talk about food, shelter, and clothing, when he begins to talk about all these different imagery and these pictures that he's using to talk about what worry is and how they shouldn't worry, we begin to see what I'm calling the causes of anxiety. What are some of the causes of anxiety? Our senses, what we see, what we hear. So when we turn on the news and we see different things happening, it can begin to cause some anxiety on the inside of us. When we begin to hear certain reports, and when we hear things on Snapchat, and when we hear things on TikTok, and hear and see things on Instagram and on Facebook, it can begin to stir up some anxiety. But then also our situations can cause some anxiety. Life just lifing. That when you woke up this morning, nobody planned to get in a car accident. Nobody planned to get a text message that could essentially ruin your day. There are some things that happen in our lives that are out of our control. So there's situational type of things that contribute to our anxieties. And then, this is not a big word, but it's a very practical word. Our stuff contributes to our anxiety. How much money I got, how much money I don't have. Keeping up with the latest trend. Trying to dress like everybody. Trying to buy certain things to be able to be accepted and approved by people. Contributes to some anxiety. FOMO, fear of missing out on things. But here's another thing that can contribute to our anxiety, and this is one that sometimes gets overlooked that many of us might not be aware of. Our sin can contribute to our anxiety. What do I mean by sin? Us going against God's word. Us going against God's way. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 38, verse 18. He says, "So I confess my iniquity. I am anxious because of my sin." He says, I'm anxious because of my sin. What's a perfect example of this? Anybody ever told a lie in here? Come on, let's be honest. If you're not raising your hand, you are lying right now. Everybody, come on, it's group participation. Everybody's hands should go up. How many of us, I'm gonna ask you, how many of us have ever told a lie before? You know that feeling when you tell a lie? And you're like, man, I hope don't nobody find out. That's why you lied in the first place, because you didn't want nobody to know something. And now you live with this perpetual fear and anxiousness. If this gets out, if they find out the truth, lying we know is sin. And this anxiousness that I have now as a result of lying is connected to my sin. So y'all, there's some things in our life that we doing and engaging in that's actually maybe contributing to some of the anxiousness that we have in our life. Like, you with somebody that belong to somebody else talking about you love them. Excuse me? And you're anxious and hoping you don't get caught. Is this too real for us at 11 o'clock service today? Some of us are like, oh my gosh, this is what Welcome Home Sunday is all about? This is what y'all do at the bridge? This is what we do at the bridge. We keep it real. So there's some anxiousness that we wrestle with. You hoping you don't get caught lying on your taxes. It's too real? It's too real for this today, huh? Come on, kids. You hoping your parent don't find out about what you did. So now they say good morning. Good morning. You good? I'm good. Because that sin got you in a stronghold. So now you live on the edge. And what the scripture helps us to see is that you and I can deal with anxiety because of many different things. I want you to write this down, that we may experience some anxiety because of the situations of our lives, but we also may experience some anxiety because of the sin in our lives. There are some things that we deal with just because life be lifing. But then there's other things that we're dealing with simply because me be mean. Y'all not gonna be real with me today, huh? I'm just talking to the people who call the Bridge Church home. Y'all ain't gonna be real with me today. We got some new people here. All of a sudden you wanna get all tight on me? Can we be honest? Everything that happens in our life ain't because life be life. It's because me be me. I did that. I said that. I went there. I smoked that. I drank that. Come on. And so some of the things that we're carrying around emotionally is sometimes connected simply because of the things that we've done. And it's created some unnervingness on the inside of us. These are these causes of anxiety. But then Jesus in verse 27 says these words. Let's look at it. He says, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying or maybe by being anxious? That's what he says in verse 27. Here's what he's helping us to see. That worry and anxiety does not add to our lives. It subtracts from our lives. It takes from us. That's what it says. Who of you can add any moment, one moment to his lifespan by worrying? Let me ask you this question. When was the last time worrying did something good for you or me? I can answer for myself. Worry has done nothing good for me ever in my life. All it's done is created more stress on the inside. It's led to more sleepless nights. It's led to more frustration. It's led to more hostility. It's led to more insecurity. It takes, I say it like this, worry is a stressor and a stealer. It brings stress and it steals joy. It steals from us. One person said it like this, Swedish proverb says this, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Someone else said it like this, write this down. We got it for you on the screen. The average person is crucifying himself between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. Can I ask you a question? What thief are you aligning yourself with right now? Is worry stealing some things from you? And many of us are here today and our hearts are filled with anxiousness and our minds are filled with worry about various things. I'm not diminishing. They are all important things that many times we worry about and are anxious about. Will my kids be safe when they go to school this week? Is it safe for me as a student to go to school? What will happen with my job? Will I have enough to pay my bills? What's going to happen when I visit the doctor's office this week? What if I don't pass the test? And what if they don't like me? Many of us are anxious about so many different things. If I were to pass the microphone around to all of us in here, I'm pretty sure that a good chunk of us in here can say, Pastor, I'm worried about this particular thing, and I'm worried about what's going to happen this week, and I'm worried about what's going to happen next year. They're talking about having some cutbacks and some layoffs on my job, and I'm worried about whether I'm going to still have a job to be able to pay my rent and to still be able to pay my mortgage and to still be able to pay student loans. I'm worried about what's going to happen right now. And many of us are here, we're worried about a lot of things. And some of you online, you're worried about a lot of different things, anxious about a lot of different things. But in spite of all that we might be anxious about and worried about, just like the disciples and other people in this text, notice what Jesus does here in verse 25. He says this, don't worry. Pause. He says, don't worry. I like this, family, because here's what he's showing us, that in the midst of the worries and the things that we feel stressed about and anxious about, here's what Jesus does. He simply gives a word to speak to our worry. Look at verse 25. Here's what it says. Don't worry about your life. Then verse 31, let's pull it up. He says this, so don't worry. Then it's like Jesus is like, I'm gonna give you a three-peat, verse 34. Therefore, don't worry. Three separate times, Jesus says the same thing. Don't worry. So I say, don't worry. Therefore, don't worry. Why does he say this so much? Because we all find ourselves attached to anxiety and being attacked by anxiety. No matter if you're a student in here, no matter if you're a single parent, no matter if you're married, no matter if you make a lot of money or don't make a lot of money, no matter what your color is, no matter what your background is, no matter what kind of music you like, no matter what neighborhood you live in, all of us got something in common, family, and all of us have heard the knock of worry on the door of our life. But Jesus, in the midst of this worry, gives a word of encouragement. And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 34, 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Psalm 94, 19. Can we pull it up on the screen? It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. What is the psalm writer helping us to see? That when I found myself anxious about so many different things, God spoke a word to me in the middle of my anxiety. that when I found myself stressed about many different things, God comforted me in the middle of my anxiety. Why is this good news? Because it means that when you and I find ourselves anxious and stressed and worried about many different things, God doesn't abandon us. God doesn't leave us. God doesn't neglect us. No, God shows up in the middle of that and he speaks to us right where we are. He gives us hope and he gives us encouragement. Why is this encouraging? Because the world, in the words of the world, here's what they do. The words of the world, it stirs up worry. But the word of God settles our worry. The words of culture stirs up our anxiety. But the word of God settles our anxiety. Why is this good news? Because it means that when you and I are attacked by anxiety, God has a word that can shift that anxiety up out of us. I thought I would get a few more amens for some of us in here who are dealing with some worries right now and some concerns because you tried Google and you tried TikTok and you tried a relationship and you tried a bottle and you tried a blunt and you tried this and you tried, none of that stuff worked. But can I let you know that when God gets a hold of you and when he begins to speak a word to you, when his word begins to come into your life, he changes things on your heart. He changes things in your mind. His word can shift things. Family, it was with the word that God created the heavens and the earth. It was with the word where he said, let there be light. It was with the word where he hung the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky. It was with the word where he put the stars in the sky. It was with the word where he said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. And can I let you know this, that if his word was powerful enough to do all those things, don't you believe by faith that his word is also sufficient enough to be able to help you in the middle of your anxiety and in the middle of your worry? And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful for the fact that God does not abandon us in our anxiety, but no, he meets us in our anxiety and he gives us a word for it. Matter of fact, some of you can testify, it was a word that changed your whole life. It was you coming to a church service like this one right here where you heard a sermon and you heard the word being preached and it set you free emotionally. It was a word that brought you hope in times of discouragement. It was the word that helped you to get through a time that was dark in your life. It was a word that brought you out of the darkest moment of your life. It was a word that helped you to know that everything is going to be all right even though everything around you was not all right. It was a word that shifted some things in here. Thank God for his word. His word. And what he's helping us to see here is that he has a word for the anxious. He has a word for the worrisome. Can I just see by show of hands who can be really honest in here? How many of y'all are prone to worry and be anxious? Come on, let's be honest. Can you look around right now? Because some of us have believed the lie of the enemy that you're the only one that deals with this. But look around. There's other people who deal with the same exact thing that you deal with. But just as we deal with the same exact thing that we're wrestling with, the same God who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all in the Bible, the same God that was able to speak and everything came into existence, is the same God that can speak to each and every one of you that raise your hand in person and on. Thank God that we got a God who speaks to our anxiety and he can settle our anxiety. He doesn't abandon us in our anxiety. He comforts us in our anxiety. And the word that Jesus says here is simply this: don't worry. Don't be anxious. Can I ask you a question today? Whether you are a student in middle school, elementary, high, young adult, college, whether you're retired, single mom, single dad, married, widowed, divorced, can I ask you this question? What are you worried about right now? What has been the thing that's been keeping you up all night recently? What's been the thing that you cannot stop thinking about? It affects your mood. It affects your countenance. What is the thing that you are stressed about that the minute you start thinking about it, your heart rate begins to rise? What is the thing that's consuming your attention right now? What is the thing right now that's causing you to question, God, are you even for me right now? What is the thing that you're anxious about? Let me also ask this question. Any of y'all ever been caught up in a spider web before? You know how that feels. Some of y'all walked out of a spider web, walked into one first thing this morning when you came out the house. And y'all, there's nothing worse than walking into a spider web because you never see it coming, more than likely. You just walking out there, what? You're like, Come on, anybody ever do that before? Oh my God, right? And then you just look crazy to people like, what are they doing over there? And then you're walking around like all day long subconscious. you at work at the cubicle, huh? Golly. You were caught up in a web. And here's what's crazy. Many of the spider webs that you and I have been caught up in, you didn't see it. But it was on you. And you carried it with you. And you can feel it on you. And it made you feel insecure. And it made you feel uncomfortable. And it made you feel icky. And it made you feel all weird. And it was with you. Can I let you know, worry is the same way. Can I ask us a question? Are you caught up right now in a web of worry? Or you take it with you everywhere you go. So you go to work and you're carrying worry with you. You go home and you're carrying worry with you. You go to bed and you're carrying worry with you. You go to school and you're carrying worry with you. Are some of us caught in a web of worry right now? But I'm gonna let you know this. If you are, there's good news. But I wanna give us some signs and some symptoms of whether or not we are, because some of us may be in denial of whether or not we worry about things. Some of us say, I don't never worry about nothing. Look, you say it just like that. I don't worry about nothing. I'm strong. Let me give you some signs and symptoms of worry and anxiousness. Persistent thoughts about future events or potential problems often focus on what-if scenarios. Do you find yourself saying what-if a lot? What if this don't work out? What if this don't happen on time? What if they don't show up? What if my check don't clear? Some of you are like, Pastor, that's a real question. What you mean? What you mean don't be worried about that? That's real. I feel you. Here's another sign and symptom. Feeling on edge, unable to relax, having a sense of impending doom or fear. You go to worst case scenario all the time. Becoming easily frustrated or angered, especially when small things go wrong. Right? The smallest thing, not the big things, smallest thing. Like, you get to a place just a tad bit late, but you were still early. Oh my gosh! Just anxious, worried on the inside. Here's another sign and symptom. I got this from some credible sources online. It says, feeling like you're drowning in responsibilities or that life's challenges are too much to handle. Some of y'all are here right now with that. You feel like you're drowning right now in life because there's so many things. On Monday, oh my God, some of us like, I don't even want to get to tomorrow because there's so many things that I got to do tomorrow. As soon as I wake up in the morning, I got to get breakfast ready for the household and I got to do this and I got to get my clothes ready and I got to make sure I leave early on time because there's traffic sometimes on Mercury Boulevard. You know them people on Mercury Boulevard always be driving crazy. On Jefferson Avenue, they drive crazy. On 664 in the bridge tunnel, they definitely drive crazy and I got to make sure I got enough time for that. But then if I'm not on time there, then it's going to push my meeting back and I can't afford to be late for this meeting because I was late for the last 5 minutes. If I'm late for this meeting, I'm going to lose my job. And if I lose my job, then all of a sudden, I'm going to lose income. And if I lose income, I'm going to lose my house. And if I lose my house, I'm going to be homeless. And I'm going to be homeless, I'm going to be struggling. And that's just Monday. And then now Tuesday comes. Oh my gosh, I got classes and I got a test that I got an exam that I got to. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with these teachers? School just started 2 weeks ago and they're already giving us full-blown exams on the third week of school, fourth week of school. I haven't even studied. I haven't even prepared. I'm not ready for this. And then after that exam, I got tryouts for this and I got practice for this and I got to take my kids here and I got to take my kids there. Then I got to get home and I got to make dinner. That's Tuesday. And then Wednesday. And then, oh my gosh, this Thursday's coming. I got a doctor's appointment, and I'm dreading this thing because I've been trying not to go to the doctor for so long, but now my health has gotten to the point where I have to go to the doctor, and I'm worried about what's going to happen when I go to the doctor. Is it going to be a favorable report? And what if it's not a favorable report? If it's not a favorable report, how is it going to change my whole life? How is this going to change how I live? And that's Thursday. And then Friday comes, and most people are saying, thank God it's Friday. And some of us are like, I wish it wasn't Friday because there's so much that I got to do on Friday too. Some of us are, oh my gosh, the weekend is here, Saturday is here. And you're like, no, Saturday is even worse because I got to get up early in the morning with my kids. I got to take them to baseball and I got to take them to basketball and I got to take them here. And I got all this stuff going on. And my day started at 6 a.m. Saturday and it's not going to end till 6 a.m. Sunday. That's why when I come to church on Sunday and you're telling me to shout and praise God, Pastor, I'm tired. Come on, anybody deal with that? Some of y'all are like, Pastor, you ought to just thank God that I'm here on Sunday. Don't ask me to lift up no hand and clap no hand. I'm tired. I'm woe out. I'm overwhelmed. I haven't had no sleep in a week because I've been stressing about what's going to happen next week. All these responsibilities, it's too much. too much going on. Another sign and symptom of anxiousness and worry is you got tightness in the muscles, especially in the neck, shoulders, or jaw, often due to chronic stress. So your body's always aching. Another sign of worry and anxiousness is an increased heart rate, shortness of breath. We sometimes will call this an anxiety attack. I can't breathe properly. That the minute I start to think about something, my breath is hard to catch it. Come on, can we be real? And many of us don't deal with this one day, a week, or once every now and then. Many of us are living in this space. And psychologists have said that there's normal anxiety, but then there's anxiety disorders. But a lot of times, even when it comes to the normal anxieties and complexities that we deal with, sometimes they can morph into what some would say into anxiety disorders, and we're carrying this all the way around. And another sign and symptom of anxiousness and a worrisome mind is sleepless nights. You have sleep problems. So you go to bed at 9, but you can't get even an hour of sleep because your mind is racing and running so much. Some of us are here today, you did not get a good night of sleep at all last night because your mind is running and you're anxious. Can I let you know this? But Jesus gives you encouragement. He says this in Matthew 11, "Come to me all who are tired and weary and I'll give you rest." I don't know about you, I thank God that I got a Savior in Jesus Christ, that when I'm tired, when I'm anxious, when I'm burnt out, when I'm overextended, when I'm overwhelmed, I got a Savior who doesn't condemn me for feeling what I'm feeling. No, he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Which now leads into what he's essentially saying here in Matthew 6. I want you to write this down, that when it comes to our anxiety, he does have an answer for it. And the reason why this is important to understand is because for some of us in here, you're a follower of Christ. You said yes to Jesus. You're a Christian. You've given your life to Christ. You have peace with God. How do we get peace with God? It's not by what we do. It's by us trusting in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 5 that we were once enemies of God. So, in other words, let me say it like this. You and God were beefing. But the Bible says that through Jesus, peace has been made. Cross. Right? He's reconciled you. He's put you in relationship with him. So now you and God have peace. So you have peace with God. But here's the thing. Many people have peace with God but don't have the peace of God. And you can have peace with God and not be walking in the peace of God. Because walking in the peace of God means I'm doing what Galatians chapter 5 says, keeping in step with the Spirit. And as I'm keeping in step with the Spirit, now I begin to yield and see my life exhibit what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. But if I'm not walking with him and pursuing him, I might have peace with him, but I don't have that peace from him that he wants to give me. Because as long as I stay fixated on my own self and my own stuff, and as long as I stay fixed on my anxious ways and the things that are happening in my life, it robs me of experiencing the peace. But I want to let you know, if you're here today and you feel like you don't have any peace at all, and you're here today and you feel anxious and you feel worrisome and you feel overwhelmed and it's hard for you to get your thoughts straight, it's hard for you to focus, can I let you know? I want to let you know you are in the right place at the right time, because God says, the people who come to me who are weary and tired and anxious. So here's what number one he gives us. I want you to write this down. We got it for you. He gives us, write this down, hope for our anxiety. That's what he gives us. He gives us hope for our anxiety. Look at what he says in verse 25. Let's go back there. He says this. He says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is it life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Watch this. Aren't you worth more than they? He says, look at the birds. Your Father feeds them. Don't you have more value than them? Here's what he's trying to help us understand. The reason why we can have hope for our anxiety, and he gives us hope for our anxiety, is because God values you. I want you to know that you're important to him. Now, no matter what the enemy tries to tell you, that if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. No, we live in a fallen and a broken world. Nothing is operating the way God wanted it to. Which is why in all things, in the book of Revelation, he says that I'm going to make all things new, including a new heaven and a new earth. But until this time, he says in John 16, in this life you will have much trouble. But he says, but take heart, have joy. I've overcome the world. I value you is what he's trying to help us to see. He says, aren't you worth more than they? When you jump down to verse 30, look what the Bible says in verse 30. He says, not only do the birds of the field and of the sky rather get fed. He says, if that is how God clothes the grass of this field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? If he takes care of the birds and the flowers, won't he take care of you? Then he says this, you of little faith. If my dad will take care the ravens and all these birds and the lilies of the field, if he makes sure that they look even more beautiful than King Solomon with all of his riches and all of his glory in the Old Testament, do you not think he'll look after you? Don't you recognize that you're valuable to him? He values you. Here's what I've recognized about worry. Maybe this is true about me, maybe not you. But what I've discovered is that what we worry about the most typically shows where we trust God the least. The thing that I'm most worried about is probably revealing that I'm not trusting God in that area. And when we worry, we are attaching ourselves to the struggles of life rather than the source of life. When I'm worried and when I'm anxious about all these things, I'm attaching myself to those things more than the giver of life himself. Which then now leads to the second subpoint that I'm going to give us about hope for our anxiety. Notice what verse 31 through 32 says. Jesus says these words. So don't worry saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear. For the Gentiles, people who don't believe in him, eagerly seek all these things. And your heavenly Father, watch this, knows that you need them. God is not oblivious to your needs. He was aware of your needs before they even became a need, which is why he tells Jeremiah that before I formed you in your mama's womb, I knew you. I knew the need that would come up in your life before you even knew about the need that would approach your life. I knew that you would be struggling financially. I knew that that person would leave you and break your heart. I knew that the things would happen in your life that you did not expect. And if God knows about them, that means he can do something about them as well. Can I let you know this? God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you need more than you recognize what you need. And here's what I've also recognized. I'm saying this about me, maybe not about you, because, you know, I don't want to assume nothing about your life. But many of the things that I consider needs are really wants in disguise. Some of the things that we say are needs are really wants. I need $1 million. No, you just need a job. No, Pastor, I really need $1 million. If you can't steward the $30,000 salary you got with that, what makes you think you can steward $1 million? You need income, but you need money management skills too. Many of the things that we say are needs sometimes are wants. But when I recognize that I'm valued by God and known by God, it produces a hope in God. There's a verse that I read this week in my own devotional time that I was like, man, I got to share this on Sunday. It's something, you ever read the Bible before and you're like, I've read this scripture, but that scripture won't dare before. You ever had that happen to you? You don't read the same verse over and over. That won't dare last time I read it. It's been there for like 2,000 years, fam. Like, but I read this scripture in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4, and I read through the Bible every year. That's a part of just my growth process and part of my discipline and staying tapped in with God. That's part of my regimen. And so I got to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 3 through 4, and it says this in the CSB translation. The Lord was calling Isaiah, which is one of his major prophets, to deliver a message to a king who was afraid because of some enemy armies that were closing in on him. And Isaiah, from God, delivers this message to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4. Can we bring it up? He says to this, say to Ahaz, keep calm and don't be afraid. In the CSB translation, it says, say to him, calm down and be quiet. When I read that, I felt a little offended because I was like, well, dang, God, you telling me to chill? And I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, absolutely, chill out. Calm down. Be quiet. But oh my gosh, what's going to happen here? And what's going to happen on this day? And what's going to... Calm down. Sit down. Be humble. Calm down. Be quiet. And here's what he says in verse 4. He says, don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering sticks. He was talking about the enemy armies. Ain't that crazy? He called this massive enemy army two smoldering sticks. You know what a smoldering stick is? It was a stick that once had a little bit of fire, but it's blown out. He says, don't be scared about a threat that ain't really a threat at all. Isn't that what we do when it comes to worry? How many times have you and I worried about things only for it to not happen at all? Come on. And I wonder if God is in heaven like, man, if my kids would just trust me with this. If my kids would just lean on me. If my kids would just breathe a little bit. Trust me, lean on me. We get to that in a moment. If my kids would just, hey, look, I know it looks crazy, and I know it's overwhelming, and I know it's a lot to take in. But calm down. Here's what I hear God telling some of us. I got you. Calm down. I got you. Can you tell the person beside you? You might not even know them. Say it gently because they might get offended. Hey, neighbor. Calm down. You got to say it gently. You can't be like, hey, man, calm down. What you mean calm? What you mean calm down, fam? What you mean? Matter of fact, this like needs to be the posture that we live in. I wonder if God is like, hey, chill, man. Like, are you worried about a light bill when I put light in the sky? Like, I get it, what you're walking through is serious, but look at my track record. Have I ever failed? The answer is no. Nah. Has he ever lost a battle? Nah. Has he ever not showed up? Nah. Has he ever not been faithful? Nah. And you got countless people in the scripture that can say that when I was in my lowest state, God showed up. So he says, hey, just calm down. Thank God that we got a Savior who's on our side, who gives us hope when anxiety comes knocking. But here's another thing that he gives us. He doesn't just give us hope for our anxiety. Write this down. He also gives us help for our anxiety. Notice verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Verse 34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He says, stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop worrying about today. Seek first the kingdom. Here's what Jesus is giving us. He's giving us perspective for our anxiety. When he says, seek first the kingdom, that has to do with our perspective. That has to do with what we're focused on. And the reason why this is so important is because the reason why some of us deal with so much anxiety, as I said earlier, is because it's connected to what we see and what we hear. And he says, hey, instead of focusing on that, focus on me. Instead of focusing on the problem, focus on the problem solver. Instead of focusing on the sickness, focus on the one who is able to heal. Instead of focusing on what's lacking, focus on the fact that I am Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Just stop focusing. He wants to give us the right perspective. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Because as a friend of mine would say, when problems seem big, it's typically because we've made God small. And I think about this when I think about the life of Peter, because many of us might be familiar with Peter, but if in case you're not, he was one of Jesus' original 12 disciples, and there was a moment in time where Jesus told his disciples to go on a boat and to go sail on the water before him, and a storm rose up, and Jesus was going to meet them on the other side. And as the storm is rising up, as they're afraid and anxious for their lives, rightfully so, because a major storm has come up and a major swell has come up to looks like it's going to destroy their life, the Bible says that they see somebody that looks like a ghost walking on water towards them. And then Jesus says, calm down, essentially, it's I. And Peter's like, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Jesus says, come out here. And the Bible says another miracle happens. Peter walks on water. Now, let me pause parenthetically, because a lot of times we give Peter a bad rap that he shouldn't have took his eyes off Jesus. When was the last time you walked on water? Have you ever done it? Okay, case closed. Anyway, he walked on water, and he's walking towards Jesus. But then the Bible does say this. He began to notice, he began to see the winds and the waves blowing against him. He took his eyes off Jesus, and the Bible says he began to sink. And he cries out, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down right there and pulled him out of the water. What does this help us to see? That when you and I take our eyes off of Jesus, it leads to us sinking down into things. You and I are susceptible to sink into worry and anxiety when we begin to take our eyes off of Jesus. And like Peter, y'all, we'll sometimes begin to sink. But also like Peter, when we call on the name of the Lord, when we feel overwhelmed by worry and anxiety, when we feel like we're being overtaken by the waves and the winds of worry, when we begin to feel like we're sinking under all the responsibilities and sinking under all the weight, Jesus in his goodness is able to reach right there where we are in the midst of us being deep down and sinking and save us from that, which is why I think Peter can say this in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Let's pull it up on the screen. He says this, cast your anxiety on him. Matter of fact, he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So here's what Jesus is saying. The thing that's consuming you, give it to me. The thing that you're thinking about, bring it to me. The care that you have about your kids going to school, he says, bring it to me. I got it. The thing that you're worried about right now happening this week, he says, bring it to me. Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares about you. It doesn't matter what your anxiety is. It doesn't matter what you're worried about. It doesn't matter what you're stressed about. He says, cast all your care. Why? Because Jesus says, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. Can I let you know this? Stop worrying about the provision and start trusting the one who provides. Focus on him. The reason why some of us don't have that peace right now is because we're not doing what Philippians 4, 6 says, which says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you would simply bring what you're worried about to me, you'll recognize that what you're worried about, I've already worked out. What you're stressed about and anxious about, I already have a plan for. I don't know what you're worried about in here today. I don't know what you're worried about online, but what I do know is that the thing that you're worried about, Jesus is able to take care of that. Jesus is able to handle that. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does it mean to seek first? It means that my focus is on him. It means that his priorities are my priorities. It means that what he wants is what I want. It means that I'm not gonna focus on all these things around me. No, I'm gonna focus on him and I'm gonna be tapped into him. I'm gonna seek him. So the first thing that happens when you and I face a situation shouldn't be to panic, it should be to pray. You might get hit with some news as soon as you leave out this building right now. The first thing I should do, I can panic. Oh, I can pray, but I can't do both. Panic leads to more stress, but prayer taps me into the presence of God. And when I get tapped into the presence of God, now I get access to the peace of God, which is able to guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So I'm gonna close with this. What's our answer to anxiety? Trust God with it. Pastor, that seems so bland and so basic. Just because it's bland and basic don't make it less true. Because sometimes the most bland, basic, fundamental thing that we should be doing, we're not doing. I don't know about you, but sometimes when things come in my life and when things happen in my life, sometimes I'll be honest with you, even as your pastor, my first response isn't always to pray. Sometimes, instead of prayer being my first response, it becomes my last resort. But the times where it's become my last resort, it has led to anxiousness and worry and more fear and more stress. But the times where it has become my first response has allowed me to experience a peace that surpasses all understanding and allows me to experience a strength that I can't get from anywhere else. So I trust God with it. These last few weeks, I've been closing out my sermons with illustrations that I feel like would be helpful. I want to do the same thing today. When it comes to our worry and anxiety, Josiah, can you bring these up right here? Because what many of us oftentimes are dealing with right here is this right here. What if we're living in this reality? What if it doesn't go the way I planned? What if something happens? What if I lose the job? What if they leave me? What if I get a bad report? What if I don't get in the college of my dreams? What if I do experience the breakup? What if I do end up experiencing loss? And many times what happens is we end up living life in these what if moments. This is how many of us are living. What if? And so much of this is running through our mind right now. What if? And what if? And what if? And because this is where we live, we don't have any joy. We don't have any satisfaction. I don't know what your what if is. Fill it in the blank. Because everybody's what if is different. What if I don't recover from losing the income? What if things don't go the way that I expect them to go this week? What if I end up losing that family member? What if? And many times, this is where we live, y'all. We live in the what ifs. And the what ifs are weighing you down. They're stressing you out. They're consuming so much of your time and so much of your attention. And they're robbing you of joy. And they're robbing you of satisfaction. It's causing you to not be able to be fully present in your life situations. The what ifs is causing you to not be able to be fully present at home with your family. Be fully present in your marriage. Because even though you're physically there, your mind is not. You're physically present, but you're emotionally somewhere else. Because of what ifs. What if this? What if that? But here's what I hear Jesus saying, that instead of spending your life saying, what if this and what if that? Seeking first the kingdom is all about having this mentality. What if God? What if God shows up? What if God makes a way out of no way? What if God does answer the prayer? What if God does meet the need? What if God does heal my body? What if God does restore my family? What if God does make the way possible? What if God does heal me of that sickness? What if God does open up the door? What if God does save my friend? What if God does protect? And here's what I've recognized. You can spend your life living on this what if card right here. What if this doesn't happen? Or you can spend your life saying, but what if God? What if God fulfills exactly what he said he would do? What if God does fulfill that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask, think, or imagine? You can spend your life saying, what if this doesn't happen? And what if my friends turn their back? But what if God, the one who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, shows up? What if God, the one who says, I'll be that bridge over troubled water? What if God, the one who says, I'll provide and make a way? What if God shows up? So here's what I've recognized. You can live your life like this, or you can live your life like this. But let me let you know this, you can't live your life in both, because that leads to bondage. So what I hear God saying to us today is, hey, how about you put down the what ifs and focus on what if I? I think this is why God tells Moses, when Moses says, who shall tell Pharaoh sent me? Tell him I am sent you. I am everything you need me to be. I am that I am. That's who he is. Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. That is who he is. He is the God who is the ever-present help in a time of trouble. He is a God who makes ways out of no way. Come on. He's a God that makes rivers flow in streams of darkness. Come on. He's a God who's the shepherd in a dark valley. He's the God who is able to open up doors. He's the God who's able to heal families. He's the God. So what I've decided to do is I want to live in this reality, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that everything else will be added. But Pastor, how's that going to work out? You know what? I only got to worry about that. He got that. But Pastor, what's going to take place tomorrow? That's not my job. My job is obedience. His job is outcome. I'm going to trust him. 10 years ago, we started this church. We had little to nothing. And on that first Sunday, I remember preaching, and I remember all these what-ifs were going through my mind. I felt like God told me, hey, you've been obedient. Y'all been obedient. The rest is on me to take care of. And here we are 10 years later. Hundreds of people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. People in the overflow right now. People online right now. A room filled because God said, if you seek first my kingdom, and everything else will be added unto you. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. Can I ask you this question? How do you want to live your life? You can be anxious. You can live under the control of worry. I'm not saying that worry won't come knocking on your door. It will. It's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not. It will. There's going to be times where you feel anxiousness coming upon you. But can I let you know this? You don't have to answer that door. Let Jesus take care of that. Bring it to him. I know that there's so much stuff happening in our world and in our communities around us. There's so many different things that we see that create a lot of anxiousness in us. Can I let you know what God reminded me of this week? Hey, bring that to me because I knew about it before you would even know about it. Bring it to me. Trust me. Seek me. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. What if God? What if God shows up? What if God does only what he can do? I would rather be on the side of this than on the side of everything else. Because here's what I know the Bible says. If God be for me, who in the world can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And here's what Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says. It says this, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Come on. If God sent Jesus down from heaven to deal with your sin problem, won't he give you everything else? Won't he take care of your needs? Won't he make ways out of no ways? So I believe in faith that God will open up doors for some of you in here. Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen. You ain't got to worry about what's going to happen. He's got you. All I'm telling you to do is to trust in him. It's to seek him. It's to depend on him. It's to lean on him. Because I believe this, when you lean on him, you begin to see miracles happen. You begin to see open doors happen. You begin to see power flow. Because I'm seeking first his kingdom, his righteousness. So with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment, if you're here today, and you find yourself wrestling with anxiety and dealing with anxiety, I want you to know this. One, you're not alone. He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. And if you are here today and you struggle with anxiety, you struggle with stress and worry, if you're here, my head's about and eyes closed, could you just lift up your hand? I just want to see you. If you could be honest, I just want to pray over you right now in this moment. Come on, wherever you are, online, just slip up your hand. You struggle with anxiety, anxiousness, worry, stress. Come on, lift up your hand. Be honest about that thing. Because part of bringing it to Jesus is being honest in this moment. By you lifting it before him, you're getting it off of you. So come on, wherever you are, lift up that hand. Just want to see you. Father, I pray for every son and daughter in this place of yours who struggles with anxiousness, who struggles with worry. I thank you that you don't condemn us for feeling what we feel, but rather you comfort us in the midst of what we feel. And not only do you comfort us, God, but you give us an instruction and you give us encouragement and you give us hope. So Lord, I pray over every person in this room today who finds themselves gripped by fear and gripped by anxiousness and gripped by worry. I pray in the name of Jesus that they would begin to walk in the power of Luke chapter 4, that whom the Son sets free, it is free. They are free indeed, that you have come to set the captives free, that you've come to set those who are captive to anxiousness and stress and worry. You've come to set us free. So Lord, I speak your freedom over their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Would you bring forth a mental freedom? Would you bring forth an emotional freedom? Would you bring forth a spiritual freedom, Father, as we decide today that we're going to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, believing that everything else will be added. So Lord, I pray even now that as we cast our cares on you, that you would give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Would you grant peace to every person in this place who's struggling? Would you grant peace to every single person in here who's overwhelmed and stressed? As they come to you, would you give them rest? Would you give them strength? Would you give them hope? And would you give them joy? In Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, if you're here today, here's what I want you to also know. That the answer to anxiety is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. But more importantly, the answer to your sin problem and my sin problem has a name, and his name is Jesus. And the only way you and I can access his peace is we got to believe in the person. And some of you are here today under the sound of my voice. You've come to church plenty of times, but you've never come to Christ. You've never given him your life. You've never devoted yourself to him. You've never put your faith in him. You've never turned from your old life and turned to him. Today is the opportunity for that to happen. If you want to begin a new relationship with Jesus Christ today, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your background is. If this is you and you want to start over today with Jesus, you want your sins washed away, you want to walk in power, and you want to walk in victory, on the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, two, three, wherever you are. If you're here today, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, shoot up your hand wherever you are, wherever you are. If you're here, amen. I see your hands. Amen. Wherever you are. And if you're raising your hand today and coming to Christ, would you say these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate all those who have said yes to Jesus Christ today? Come on, can we celebrate Jesus today? For every person who said yes to Christ.